Hello and welcome to the Where Are You podcast. Today we chatted to Fiona Griffins from Retiree on a J1 visa. It was amazing. It gave me so much energy. We chatted all about travel at any age, traveling in America, doing a J1 visa. She worked in Camp America. She's traveled her whole life and she just has an amazing energy about her. I always worry about not having enough time to travel, I need to get it all done before I'm 30. But this chat just gave me so much clarity and hope and a different kind of view on life and the energy like this woman has after doing so much in her life already just is so inspiring.
Someone kind of working abroad and on a J1, it's normally kind of someone in university or someone who's kind of a little bit younger. So what kind of inspired you to start your journey and how did it all start?
Okay, well, number one, I've always been a great traveler. My first solo trip when I was 13, I was sent to a French speaking boarding school for a month one summer in 1965.
Wow.
So that was the start of it. And went to France several times then over the next couple of years on exchange programs. This particular J1 visa, so 2021, I was informed by my employer that due to the age restriction of the company, I had to retire in April 2022.
Right, okay.
I'm really upset about it, Crockett.
Yeah.
I loved working, full of energy. I loved my job, and kind of thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I started Googling. I've always wanted to live abroad.
Yeah.
For a period of time. The plan was when I was much younger, I had cousins living in New Zealand. They were born there. And I was training as a Montessori teacher. And I was to go out to New Zealand for a year or two to them after I was finished. But sure, I fell in love.
It happens.
I fell in love. So I didn't go anywhere. And, got married, had my first kid in 1980, and they actually came home pretty just as I was finishing college in Dublin. They came home, so that ruled it out anyway. But anyway,
yeah.
So I've always had the hankering to do this. So I started Googling working abroad because I kind of felt I needed to do something. I needed to support myself while I was abroad. And I came across Camp Leaders, which is an agency that puts up profiles for people who want to do summer work.
So okay.
I contacted them and had a lovely chat with them. And they informed me that I'd be very suitable to do some summer camp work.
Amazing.
Somewhere in America.
Yeah.
But yeah, went ahead with that application and there wasn't an age restriction. There is no age restriction on the J1 visa for cultural exchange work, which is the J1 visa I was on, cultural exchange.
Ah, okay. So that's kind of what I was wondering, because I always have it in my head, you can't do your J1 once you're kind of done college and you're kind of over kind of 25. So if it's a cultural exchange, it doesn't matter what age you are.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Now, this was all new to me as well. And so that was the first great thing that happened.
Yeah.
I was going to be suitable and I could get a visa. Now, the age restriction is the work and travel J1 visa for students. I think it's 30.
Yeah.
But I think there's 15 or 16 different types of J1s.
Okay.
There's internship J1s, there's exchange, there's the work and travel. There are so many. And I did have a list of them all there earlier this year when I was in Washington with Christian Dubois, who works in the State Department. She's the HR person for the J1 visa office.
Okay, so I think there's kind of a lot that people, like, I think people just think J1, oh yeah, going to New York to work for the summer kind of thing. But it's great to know that there's so many options.
There are a huge amount of options. Yeah, there are.
And what was the job process like for yourself? I know you mentioned it was through Camp Leaders. Was it a long process or was it straightforward enough?
It's a bit of a tedious process in a way. There's a lot of paperwork to fill out. And you go through Camp Leaders in stages and pay, obviously there's a fee to the agency.
Yeah.
But when they told me I was suitable, I said, well, I'm going to do this, this is my chance to do it. A few things had happened in my life. My mum, she went into a nursing home in the March of 2022 because she had Parkinson's, and sadly we couldn't care for her needs any longer at home. That freed me up a whole lot, because I was the main carer. Family wise, we did have other carers coming in as well, but I was the one who did most of the, you know, most of the legwork, for want of a better word, because my other members of the family worked. Not that I didn't work, but they didn't live in Kerry either. I'm in Tralee, County Kerry. So anyway, that was that. Then camp leaders told me, yep, no problem, camps would love you. So I did all the paperwork. It is slow, it's tedious, and I still was working at this stage, so used to do it in the evening time. So eventually had that process finished, and Camp Clearwater in Wisconsin contacted me.
Okay.
They had found my profile on Camp Leaders and they liked what they saw. So contacted me, interviewed me, explained to me a little bit about camp life. Not enough, because I assure you, I was totally out of my depth when I arrived.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I was afraid that if I didn't accept Clearwater's offer, I may not get another one.
Of course. You know?
I suppose, to me, when I was applying, I was thinking L.A., Malibu, Beverly Hills, you know? And as well as thinking camp was going to be like Dirty Dancing, I thought I'd be someplace exotic. So I did a bit of research on Wisconsin, and the camp is based in the Northwoods, which is about 2.5 hours south of Lake Superior. And I kind of thought, oh my God, it just looks spectacular. I accepted their offer pretty quickly, within a day or two. So that's kind of how it started and where it went from. Then, of course, once you were offered a place, you have to go through the process of getting the J-1 visa.
Yeah.
And filling out all the paperwork for the American Embassy. And that is long and tedious. If you come out of it, several times I lost my, you know, I lost my page, and then you have to start all over again, and oh my God. But look, I eventually got there, and I found this year, 2023, much easier to get through it,
because
I learned to save and exit as I went along. Save. Every page I filled in, I saved it.
That's how
it started.
Amazing. That's really kind of refreshing to hear. And you kind of said you got, maybe they didn't tell you enough about the camp, when you perhaps, I have the feeling that you got maybe a little bit of a shock when you arrived. So what was kind of the experience when you kind of landed in this completely new world almost?
So the staff arrive 2 weeks, good 2 weeks before the campers arrive.
Okay.
We have 2 weeks induction.
Mm-hmm.
So it was during the induction training that I kind of realized this literally is a full-time job. This is 12-hour. For me, it was 12-hour days, more or less, because when they interviewed me, I was very clear that I did not want to be a cabin counselor. I did not want to be spending 7 weeks in a cabin with children. My age, my sleep is precious to me. My own room is precious to me. You know, and that was one of my conditions, and there was no problem with that because I'm quite active anyway physically, and there was a lot of other stuff that I was suitable for, you know, without having to be a cabin counselor as well, because a lot of younger girls are cabin counselors and activity counselors, you know, and they're with the campers 24/7. But look, I did fill in. I filled in 2022 in a cabin with 8-year-olds, and I filled in for nearly a week in 2023, and it was fine. It was absolutely fine.
You got through it.
I got through it. I did. And I enjoy that younger age group. You know, the 8 to 10-year-olds, that they're the youngest campers that we have in camp. So the 2 weeks prior to first arriving was a lot of training. And again, not being prepared, I signed up to become a lifeguard. Now, I am a good swimmer and I love the water. I spend a lot of time on the coast here in Kerry.
Of course.
And, you know, I swim all year round. So started the lifeguard training, got through the first morning and got through half of the afternoon in the pool that day. But I was unable to get the brick off the deep end floor of the swimming pool.
Okay.
And I got three attempts and I had it in my hand each time. But on my way surfacing with it, it would always fall out.
Okay, so it wasn't like Baywatch, no.
It wasn't like Baywatch, no. And there I was thinking I'd be whatever her name is. Gorgeous blonde one in Baywatch in my swimsuit.
Okay,
but
okay. No.
So, so on my third attempt, I knew I was out. And I was terribly upset because I felt I had let myself down. And I was and I was letting Clearwater down. Because I did say I would like to be and would be interested in becoming a lifeguard. But you know what, Ellen? It was the best thing that happened to me.
Yeah, yeah. There's always a silver lining with these things. Like, it obviously wasn't meant to happen.
It wasn't meant to be. Wasn't meant to be. And there was no issue with camp or anything like that. I didn't. I wasn't able to do it. And that was absolutely fine. So then, you know, as I say, training went on, getting to know 30 other new people as well, international staff, American girl staff, was challenging and daunting, remembering the names. And the first girl's name that I actually remembered, she's Beda Fernandez, and she's Mexican. And she and I were paired off on the very first morning. And I've actually been to Mexico to visit Beda.
Oh, wow. That's one of the kind of the best things about meeting people abroad, isn't it? Kind of visiting them all afterwards, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
No, no. It is. It opens great. It opened up great opportunities and fabulous friendships for me.
Amazing. You know,
with girls and half my age.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was about to ask. Was it a difficult dynamic for you, or were you kind of, it didn't really matter? Because I assume a lot of the staff would have been younger and kind of at a completely different stage of life. Was that difficult for you, or did you just kind of, you didn't notice it?
I was aware of it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't quite sure how they would take a 66-year-old when they were 20, 21, 22, 23.
Yeah,
you know, but they were amazing. Everybody was friendly. I got on very well with 90% of the staff. There's always somebody that you don't click with.
Yeah, of course.
That's life.
Yeah.
So especially the international staff, we bonded very, very well. So there was two Irish girls, Aoife McDumphrey from Dublin and myself in 2022. There were several Mexican girls, Polish girl, Aga, Mel's a Turkish girl, Nora Karath from Hungary. And I've been out in Hungary to Nora. And where else were they from? And there was two girls from the UK.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And there was probably a huge learning experience for the younger girls as well, to kind of learn from your life experience. And I'm sure you taught them a thing or two.
I would hope so. We did share a lot of experiences.
Yeah.
We shared a lot of different cultural things.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the different foods, the traditions, all of that. And whereas camp life is kind of a standard for the Americans. The majority of families would send their children to a summer camp, a sleepaway summer camp.
Yeah.
Okay. It was a very good cultural exchange. And from very early on, I'd be saying, you're all welcome to Ireland. And they were saying, you're all welcome to Poland and Hungary and where is the other place? Where is Mel's from? Turkey and Mexico, you know, and we'd show each other pictures of our landscapes and where we lived. So, it really, really was lovely that way.
Brilliant. Then, and sorry, go on.
Yeah, no. Then I found they maybe regarded me as an older aunt or an older sister. And a lot of the time they came to me if they had a difficulty with something, how could they solve it? You know, I got a call one night about 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, no, actually, it was about midnight, maybe, sorry, because we had to be back in camp by 1 a.m. I'm asleep in my bed and two of the girls are stranded in the local town, Minocqua.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm the one they call because I was one of the drivers. And, you know, go in, got them.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Okay.
So, no, it went very well. But I was always aware myself of the age difference.
Yeah.
I never wanted to overstep.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, I went out at night with them. I'd spend maybe two or three hours. I'd be home. I'd go back in for them. That kind of thing, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah,
that sounds lovely, and it's great the way you'd kind of cross paths with people who you usually wouldn't. Like, this is kind of the only type of experience where you'd meet people in that kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
So you were mentioning kind of working and living in the cabins and stuff. So what was the kind of accommodation setup like for yourself?
Right. So. There was a couple of other counsellors, activity counsellors like myself, who didn't have cabins. So I shared a beautiful two-bedroomed cabin with Nurse Grace Savercool. She was the camp nurse. So okay. I've shared with Grace both years, which was lovely. And from the minute Grace and I met, we hit it off. Grace was, she's in her early 40s. So again, a very sisterly kind of loving friendship.
Brilliant.
And then Beth Owen, who was the director for 2022 and 2023, Beth and I became very close as well, because she was the closest one in age to me and I to her in you know, in a way, in camp.
Okay.
And I suppose because of my, well, let's say maturity, although some days I wonder if I'm mature, because of my maturity, you know, we'd be able to sit and chat about world stuff, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know, we weren't out drinking every night of the week or anything like that.
Not every night. So you didn't have a problem with kind of the accommodation setup, and it was kind of, it was a high enough standard, I'm assuming, of, you know,
okay, high enough. It was it was very adequate. They are wooden cabins in the middle of a forest. Yeah.
Okay.
Grace and I were very lucky. Obviously, we had our own bath.
We were just kind of talking about
the cabins.
The standard of accommodation. And it was basic. You had your kettle, your microwave. So basic enough, but...
Got
by. You
know, got by. It was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Rustic cabins. So but it was a lovely experience, you know. The cabin counsellors and the campers, their cabins were in different areas of the camp. The camp is huge, and it's right on the shores of Lake Tomahawk in Manakwa. So the cabins out there, they had communal bathrooms, and it was a bunks of six. And then the camp counsellors, or the cabin counsellors' bed as well. Our own area. So the counsellors out on the, say, in the island or on the mainland, right on the wouldn't have been as luxurious as my cabin.
Okay. So you know, you're not living in luxury, but you're not.
Yeah. Oh no, you're not living in luxury, but it's lovely. It really is. I was always warm enough, and you know, plenty of bedclothes.
Yeah.
You know, all of that. Plenty of food. Plenty of stuff like that. The one thing about Camp Clearwater, and which was my huge challenge, was it's a technology-free camp.
Wow, okay.
So staff could not have their phones on them during the day. The campers there was no phones, no radios, no televisions, no newspapers. The only way of communicating for the campers with their family, friends, relatives, guardians, was through handwritten letter.
Right. That's a big change, especially for the younger. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was tough, I imagine, kind of like you must have not had much contact with your family back home with the time difference and everything.
With the time difference. Yeah. So most of my calls were done 7 o'clock in the morning.
Right,
or
okay.
we'd get now I was at night, I did have my phone with me in my cabin at night, obviously.
Okay. Yeah.
And I had electricity. The cabin counsellors don't have electricity in their cabins, and they have to use their phones in the staff room.
Right.
You know, their time in the staff room was limited. Mm. But look, they were all aware of this when they came. Lots of the staff had been there several times.
Yeah. You know, and Sure, it does no harm to take a little break from technology anyway.
No, yeah. You're so busy, you don't have time for it.
Exactly, exactly. You know? And that kind of leads into one of the questions I was curious about, the fact that you kind of chose to share your journey on Instagram, and you kind of, you have a fair few followers on Instagram, you know, and a bit of a travel blogger yourself. So
I wouldn't say that now.
What kind of inspired you to, were you just something you've always kind of been interested in, or it just kind of happened?
No, it just literally happened organically. Yeah. So I, you know, my family and my close friends were saying, okay, now we want updates every day. We want to know you're safe. You're going into the wilds of Wisconsin. My sister had said to me, my sister Deirdre said to me, you are not to go walking in the forests on your own, you know? So I had said it to my son, Jeff, is very good on social media. I'm not. I said, what can I do? Well, he said, look, if you set up an Instagram account, we'll all be able to see what you're up to.
Okay. So it was more kind of for family and friends.
It was more family and friends. Yes. Yeah. Now I do have another Instagram account for business. I'm a wedding celebrant.
Oh, amazing.
So Ceremonies by Fiona, just give it a plug.
Of course.
So I set it up then, me not knowing the difference between private and public, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
My business, Ceremonies by Fiona, profile was public because it has to be. So this was public too. And I think it's a lady called Erica Carter. She's a journalist with RSVP Live.
Yes.
Okay. She came across my post somewhere. And me thinking it was only my family looking at them, my close friends looking at them. And she contacted me. And that's how it started then.
She
did an interview with me for RSVP Live in 2022. So she was the catalyst, and I must always thank her because I've had an incredible experience with the whole thing since. You know, so that's how it started. And then once the phone calls started coming in about radio interviews and newspaper interviews and television interviews, I did get overwhelmed.
Of course. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's a lot.
It was like a full-time job. So I did chat to Beth, the camp director, and Kat about it, and they said, okay, you allow yourself so many an hour in the evening or in the morning to deal with this if you want to. People will wait when you're ready to talk to them, you know, they'll be ready to listen to you.
Exactly.
You know, because I thought, I had to answer everybody immediately, and at the time, in case the late, late show and Ryan Turberty was looking at me.
You have to always be prepared for that.
You have to always be prepared for that. And that was the running joke among us in camp. Ethan McDonfrey and myself, you know, next stop, the two of us were going to be on the late, late show.
You never know.
You never know. Anyway, so that's how it kind of got out there.
Okay.
Then I discovered one of the other big challenges I had as well is I'm used to my car being outside my door, and I'm used to being able to take off and go, since I've retired, someplace whenever I feel like it or want it or whatever. So not having a car, really, I felt very trapped for the first couple of weeks. But once the campers arrived, my God, there wasn't time to think of anything, you know. And then, you know, I was able to drive. I was able to use Grace. Nurse Grace had her own car there. She gave me her keys one day. There's the spare set of keys. You take my car whenever you need it.
Amazing. Was there much kind of opportunity for your own individual? I know you're probably so busy during kind of the height of summer, but afterwards, or kind of on weekends or busy, like kind of quieter weeks, did you have much opportunity for travel yourself?
So for the first 2.5 weeks or so, you don't get a day off. But while we're there without the campers, our days are shorter. We would be finished about 6 or 7 in the evening. And then we'd go into Minocqua. You know, we might go for a pizza, go for something to eat, some of them might go for a drink, go to the cinema. But once the campers arrived, and you got one day off a week. So you worked 6 days and you got one day off a week.
Okay. So
on those days, I had done a bit of research, and I would always go and do something. I would go to the museums. I would go to nearby lakes. I went to nearby towns. I was very fortunate in that I made friends with a lovely couple, Keith and Sylvia Castleberry from Green Bay. Now, they had been in Ireland on a CIE bus tour in April of 2022. And wow. my brother was their bus driver. Sorry, Ireland.
Small world, isn't it?
And he was telling them about me. So they gave him all of their information and asked me to contact them. Wow. So I did. And they were absolutely amazing to me. I flew into Green Bay to them. They picked me up. I spent and we drove. They drove me then 4 hours up to Minocqua. And then when camp was finished, I went and spent a week in southern Wisconsin with them. So we toured around a lot. Yes. And I spent a day or so with them this year as well, because my plans this year were slightly different. Mm. And, you know, I did meet them in Ireland before they flew back. I went to Killarney. They were on one of the tours to Killarney. So I went over to meet them. And they've been absolutely amazing. So, you know, experiences and chances like this have just come my way since I started this journey. It's been amazing.
Well, I think kind of once you step out of your comfort zone and once you kind of take the leap, the experiences just kind of come to you. I've noticed, once you kind of let them in, they don't stop coming then.
They don't. No, you're right. So on our days off, then during camp, so each session in camp runs for 3.5 weeks. Some of the campers stay for the 7 weeks. We get a 24-hour off, say 10 o'clock Monday to 10 o'clock Tuesday. So when our 24 was announced, some of the international staff and myself, we went up to Lake Superior for the 24 hours. Swam in Lake Superior, had a meal, visited Madeline Island. You know, so that was beautiful. And to get that part of the cultural side of on the border with Canada.
Of course. And it's great that you kind of made the most of your days off, because only having one day off a week, and I'm sure you're really busy the whole week. Mm. You'd almost be exhausted on your one day off. But it sounds like you just said, we'll do it. And, you know,
yes, absolutely.
You have to do it. It has to be done.
Yeah. Lots of people did lots of different things. But I wanted to see, you know, and I was fortunate that I had Grace's car. So I probably did a bit more than some of the younger girls who didn't drive and were dependent on lifts.
Of course.
Around the place. But camp organised that very well. And this year camp had bought a staff car for staff. But you have to be 21 to be able to drive it. So the younger girls, a lot of the American girls had their own cars anyway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they kind of drive a little bit earlier, I think, over there.
They do.
Okay. So
I took a week after camp finished in 2022 and spent it down in southern Wisconsin in Door County and Green Bay, and went to the Milwaukee Irish Fest with Sylvia.
Oh, wow.
Which was all fabulous.
Yeah. But
then this year, my circumstances were different this year in that I was expecting a new grandchild in early August. So I did my traveling before I went.
Okay.
This year. So I went to Mexico first, and I spent 2 weeks with Beda and her family in Mexico. And then I went to Washington. I had been invited to Washington in the State Department by Kristen Dubois. Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, who is the public relations officer at the State Department's J1, and met the Deputy Irish Ambassador in the embassy, and then went on to Michigan to Nurse Grace's home. And she and I drove to camp then. It took 2 days, and we drove up through Michigan up to the Upper Peninsula, spent the night on, oh my goodness, what's the name of the island? Mackinac Island, crossed the Mackinac Bridge, and drove down to Wisconsin then to Minocqua the next day. So I left Ireland on the 16th of May and started on camp on the 8th of June.
Wow, okay, so quick turn. You did kind of a lot of that in a very short amount of time.
I did. I had about 3 weeks tearing around America. But you're bad.
Oh, yeah. Can't complain.
No, can't complain in the least.
And I know kind of you mentioned when you were younger, you were kind of really into travel as well, and you always had a yearning for it. What's kind of what, from your experience, the advantages or disadvantages from maybe doing something like this a little bit in a later stage in life? Because I think a lot of, you know, people my age might think, oh, like I have to travel before I have kids, or I have a house, or yada, yada, I need to get out of the way. But I think people forget, you know, there's a later stage in life as well where you can have these opportunities did you notice any kind of advantages or disadvantages doing something like this a little bit later?
No, mm-hmm. I didn't. I suppose this is the first time it was something like this.
Yeah.
Whereas my other trips, like I've been to South America twice on fundraising trips. You know, I've been to Asia, to Vietnam for my 60th.
Wow.
You know, I just love seeing the world. Mm. My first solo trip was they put me on a plane, Aer Lingus, with a tag around my neck when I was 13 years of age and said, goodbye, we'll see you in a month. You know, but my mum was an amazing adventurous traveller, you know.
Okay, so you think she kind of passed that down?
Oh, she certainly did. She, in 1997, she was told she had to have a hip replacement operation.
Right.
And her one dream was to snow ski. She was a snow skier anyway. Snow ski in the Andes.
Mm.
So I went with her. No,
amazing.
At the time I was married, and you know, I'm always very grateful to my former husband. The way he was always good when my mother would come to him and say, I want to go here, can she come with me? Or you know, whatever. And I shouldn't say, can she come with me? But at the same time, going off for 3 weeks, leaving somebody with four kids. So, I'm always grateful for that as well,
yeah.
For those opportunities. Anyway, so yeah, we went to South America and she skied in the Andes in Bariloche. And when we came back, she had her hip operation and she skied again.
She's some woman, honestly. It's the Kerry women, you know, they can do anything.
yeah, she was some woman, fair play to her.
So
did some fundraising trips to the Sinai Desert and to Peru, and I took off to one of the big ones I did on my own for my 50th in 2006 was I took off to Greece.
Oh, gorgeous.
To a Buddhist center.
Wow.
For 10 days to do kind of a meditation workshop and all of that. So look, it was amazing. So I think life can give you different stages.
Yeah.
And holidays are, you know, you need to see what you want to do yourself. So going to camp to work certainly is very doable. But I do believe you have to have the mindset of energy.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I'm very, very lucky and fortunate. I do not have any physical ailments.
Yeah.
Now, I did break my foot. I broke my ankle last March. Would you believe it? I came out of the American Embassy in Dublin with my J1 visa, went over in my foot and cracked my ankle. So this year I was very conscious in camp that my ankle had only just recovered, because the terrain is uneven.
Of course.
You're in the middle of a forest on the edge of a lake. But no, anyone can do it. And there are lots of different roles out there. Now, I chose an all-girls camp.
Okay.
And there's a lot of variety in the camps. You know, kids camp, special needs camp. I had worked for years with adults with intellectual disability and mental health difficulties. I didn't want to give up work and go straight into that again. I wanted something different.
Yeah.
So I chose an all girls camp. How would you say, in the full of their health, mightn't be the right way to put it.
But, yeah, no, I know.
You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. That didn't live with a disability.
Brilliant. And what are your kind of your future plans, Fiona? Are you going away next summer, or what's kind of next on your list of adventures?
Next on my list of adventures is yeah, I'm going to do something. I have a couple of different things going around in my head. I'm very open to ideas and suggestions from anybody who might. But the first one that I'm going on for now is I'm going to North Carolina in March to stay with Beth, who was the director of Clearwater Camp.
Very good. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
And I'm sure, I hope you share it on your Instagram and we can all see it. So
I will indeed.
So it's retiree on a J1 visa.
Retiree on a J1 visa. Yeah.
Brilliant.
But I haven't finally formalized. I could go back to Clearwater, but I feel 2 years in the one camp is enough.
Yeah.
I'd like to do something different.
Of course.
So there's lots of things I'm kind of looking up at the moment, but I haven't decided on anything.
Very exciting. I can't wait to see what you do over the next while. Thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you so much for coming on today, Fiona. I really appreciate it.
It was lovely chatting to you, Ellen.
You too. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye.